first song is Who You Say I Am. We are told over and over by everyone who it is that we are, where our value lies. And right now we're going to lift our voice to the only valid, only true one to tell exactly who you are, exactly whose you are, and the great price that he paid. So let's sing and lift our voice to him.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free. Child of God, yes I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me.
Hallelujah.
Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
This is who you are.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. Chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Oh, I am who you say I am. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free.
This song is called Another in the Fire, and it's just a constant reminder that we never battle alone. No matter what's going on, he has a plan and he has a purpose for your life, and he promises you that he will stand with you through it all.
There's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. When I look at the space between what I'm breathing and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There is another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the waters holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding how I've been set free, there is a cross that bears no burden, where another died for me. There is another in the fire. All my dead left for dead beneath the waters. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. Should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this reckoning? I know I'll bow to the things of this world. I know I will never be alone. There is another in the fire standing next to me. Be another in the waters holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding what power set me free? There is a grave that holds nobody, and the power lives in me. There's another in the fire. Oh, 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 and I can see the light in the darkness. As the darkness bows to him, I can hear the roar in the heavens. As the space between wears thin, I can feel the ground shake beneath us. As the prison walls cave in, nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between us. There is no other name but the name that is Jesus. Amen. He who was and still is and will be through it all. So come what may in the space between all the things unseen and this reckoning. I know I won't ever be alone. Oh, I know I will never be alone. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in the waters holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me? I count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be. Come on. I can see the light in the darkness. As the darkness bows to him, I can hear the roar in the heavens. As the space between wears thin, I can feel the ground shake beneath us. As the prison walls cave in, nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between us. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in the waters holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me? I count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be. I count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be. Amen. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it for thy courts above.
As an offering to him, we sing to him the worth due his name above all else. Let's sing together.
Above all else, I adore your name. Above all else, tune my heart to sing your praise. Above all else, I adore your name. Above all else, tune my heart to sing your praise.
Sing it out.
Above all else, I adore.
We are so grateful for you. We are so grateful that you take these jars of clay and you inhabit our praise, and in some miraculous and mysterious way, God, you are present. God, I thank you for this opportunity that we have to gather across the doors of churches and across roads in our communities, God, and you have brought us together with a purpose for tonight. We are grateful, God, that you do not make mistakes, that no one's here on accident. God, you have a sovereign plan for every woman in this place. And God, we are grateful for it. We are thankful that you call us out into our communities to go, and as we are going, to make disciples of all nations in every family and everywhere that we touch, God. But your promise is that you will be with us. You will be with us every single day. So above all else, we adore your name. We adore your name, Jesus, the name above all other names, the only name that can be called upon for salvation. We adore you. God, we pray that, Holy Spirit, that you would stay with us, that your presence would be precious to us, that you would fall and just drown this place in your love, in your healing, in your comfort, and in every specific heart that is here and every family that is represented, God, that you know what they're struggling with. You know what they're dealing with. Help them and help us to rally around those people. God, you are gracious. You are merciful. You are good. You are love. You are just. You are holy. And we are grateful to be able to call you Father. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen.
You guys will forgive. If I use a cheat sheet. I'm so blessed to see you guys here tonight. My name is Susan Dunphy. It's the black one, Michelle. There we go. And I'm a member of Belo Baptist Church. And like many of you, I've been a believer for numerous years. But I found that at the end of the day, I was prone to leave God, just like that song that we just sang. Sometimes daily, sometimes it's hourly. And I quickly realized that there was a need for the women of our community to come together and pray for each other, to encourage each other, and to be here for each other. Now, that's hard to do because what happens is we're overwhelmed with daily things in our lives. We have kids that are in sport practices. We might be taking care of an elderly parent. But the enemy plays on that. The enemy knows that we're busy. And even though we want to spend that time with God, most of the time we fall short. So we created a place on Facebook, because everybody loves social media. It is called Beautiful Mess. And I thought, you know what, if we could post it on Facebook and people could read it and then they could comment, or they were found accountable, like, hey, you know, I missed yesterday, but I just saw where somebody posted on this page, so I need to remember that, you know, when I get home tonight, I need to read that study, because there has to be accountability, and with each other, we can find accountability, because iron sharpens iron, and what we need for each other is to be with each other, because God created community for a reason. He didn't mean for any of us to be doing this alone. That was not the idea. So whether you are a member of Beautiful Mess online, or whether you're here through a friend, or you saw the posts on Facebook, we are so very, very blessed that you are here tonight. We are the body of Christ. That is what's here today. It doesn't have to have church walls. Jesus is here. He knows what we're doing, and the enemy also knows what we're doing. So I just want us to pray and remember that you are not alone. We are a community of loving people here for each other. Dear Lord, thank you for all the people that you brought here this evening. Lord, help them for this to touch their hearts. Help for them to take this back to their own church homes and encourage and enlighten the women. Lord, every day we're fighting the evil one. We know that you are here for us, and you created each other so that we could be together and encourage and uplift everyone. I thank you again for everybody that's here tonight. We're one in the body of Christ. Amen.
You go before I know that you've even gone. come back with the head of my enemy. You come back and you call it my victory. Oh. You go before I know that you've even gone to win my war. Love becomes my greatest defense and leads me from the dry wilderness. And all I did was praise. All I did was worship. All I did was bow down. All I did was stay still. And alleluia, you have saved me so much better your way. Alleluia, great defender, so much better your way. You know before I do where my heart can seek to find your truth. Your mercy is the shade I'm living in. And you restore my faith and hope again. And all I did was praise. And all I did was worship. And all I did was bow down. All I did was stay still, stay still. And alleluia, you have saved me so much better your way.
So much better your way.
did was praise. All I need to do is worship. Lord, I will just bow down. I'm just gonna stay still.
I'm Sherry Wiley. I'm a member of First Baptist. And Susan asked me if I would come and give the offertory prayer. But first, we're going to watch a video about a young lady from our community, Morgan Fridley. Many of you may know her. She graduated from Fairland this past spring. And right after graduation, she took a 13-week assignment in Andrews, North Carolina, at the Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters Church Camp. Now, you guys need to look up this church camp online if you don't know much about it. It's a very high-intensity, exciting church camp. My kids were privileged enough to both get to go this year. And Morgan is making a great impact on these kids' lives. My daughter came home. She said, when I grow up, I want to be just like Morgan. So, anyway, Morgan was so successful at camp, they asked her to stay on for another year. And so she came home just briefly, and she went back. She's working in some different seminars and things they have. But part of her assignment is a mission trip. She will be going to Honduras, and it is up to her to come up with the money to go. And so we're going to take an offering here tonight at some point, and we pray that the Lord blesses and that you're able to give and help her show a little bit of support from the community. So I'm going to pray now if you'd bow your heads. Dear Father, we thank you for this gathering here tonight. And we thank you for Morgan, a young person who's just got a heart for you. And we pray as we lift up an offering that you will bless those who give and those who don't have to give, but that Morgan will be able to feel the support of her community around her. Continue to bless the rest of the service. In your name I pray. Amen.
Hey everybody, my name is Morgan Fridley. I'm 19 years old and I'm from Proctorville, Ohio. Right now I'm standing in Andrews, North Carolina at a camp called Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters, which exists to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ through the exposition of scripture and personal relationships in order to equip the church to impact this generation. Just to tell you a little bit about how I got here, I would have to go back into 2017 when my church, First Baptist of Proctorville, Ohio, came for summer camp. So in 2017 and 2018, I was a camper here, and I just fell in love with the ministry and everything that they were doing, and I felt the Lord's call to apply for staff. So I applied for staff last year, and I got accepted for summer staff of 2019. So I've been here, barring a small 10-day break home, I've been here since May 13th, 2019. Just to tell you a little bit about how I got here, I applied and I got accepted, and so what we did is we went through 2 weeks of training and then 11 weeks of summer camp. So for 11 weeks, I got to minister to students, lead share group, run recreation like the tower that's behind me, and take kids down the Nantahala River as a whitewater guide. It was a ton of fun. I saw so many kids come to know Christ through this ministry, and I have just been in love with it since I've been here. To tell you a little bit what I'm doing now, I am a 2019-2020 intern here at Snowbird, which means that I will be here through August of 2020. What I will be doing while I'm here is essentially the same as summer camp, but with so much more. I will be running recreation, again, like this tower behind me, and the three-man swing, which is across from me, and taking kids down the Nantahala River. I'll be leading share groups and ministering to students and just getting to share the gospel with them through fall retreats and winter SWOs and marriage conferences for adults and our Iron on Iron conference like we just had last weekend, where youth pastors come and get to hang out and pour into each other and learn more about how to minister to students back home. So I've had an awesome time here. I'll be here for quite some time, and I'm settled in great, and I'm having a great time. I thank you all for your prayers and just all that you've done, and all the things that are going on at home and what you guys are doing there for the advancement of the gospel. So thank you so much. I ask you that you would continue to be praying for me and continue to be praying for students that will come here and hear the gospel, and that ultimately the gospel would be proclaimed, that Christ would be glorified, and that students would come to know him, and that we would get to spend eternity with them. Thank you so much. Love you guys.
She's a pretty incredible lady. We're just going to kind of do this. I'm going to let you pass it yourselves. And then we have another small group that is going to come up and sing for you guys. So we'll go ahead and do that now.
Never gonna let me down. You're Barker, and most of you know my husband passed away. It was a year ago, Labor Day, and I'm going to share my testimony with you guys tonight concerning that. Labor, and I have to have a cheat sheet, I'm sorry, it's the only way I'm going to make it through this. Labor Day is never going to be the same for my girls and I. The day started out so nice. We all had the day off. We were looking forward to just spending a day together. Elena decided she wanted to go to a friend's house, and Elizabeth and Emma decided they wanted to go hang out at my mom's. Looking back, that was a godsend and a blessing, because they were not at the house when their daddy passed away. Anthony was able to take all three of my girls and drop them off. He came home and was going to take a nap. He had been working lots of overtime, and I knew he was exhausted. A few minutes later, I found myself frantically calling 911. And then my mom to come be with me. As my husband lay on my bedroom floor, I waited for what seemed like an eternity for the EMS to arrive at my house. I will forever have the image of my husband taking his last breath in my head. That day, I would have never imagined how much my life was going to change. When I finally was able to start thinking clearly, I realized just how much God had been working and watching over my girls and I. Not just after Anthony passing, but the days leading up to his passing. God placed us in this amazing church, knowing these are the people that I would need to get in my life to get me through. He gave us this amazing community who brought food to us for months. He placed friends in my life that are more, way more than friends. They are more like family, and I couldn't make it each day without them. He gave me a contract at school just weeks before Anthony passed away, making me more financially stable. He allowed Anthony to drop off our girls safely that day. And for their last memory from their daddy, he told them, "I love you and I will see you later." We know without a shadow of a doubt that we will see Anthony again. Honestly, there were moments when I felt finished, that life as the happy, carefree woman I used to be was gone forever. How could I dream again when the person who was in those dreams was gone? I remember crying out to God, asking, "God, what do you have for me? How can I still have life ahead of me after this?" I felt like Jesus whispered to my heart, "Hold on, there is still joy ahead for you. I am not finished with you yet." As I began to press into the truth of God's word and his mighty promises of hope, he began to heal my broken heart through his presence, and he showed me Even though I didn't understand it, he was using this pain for his purpose. If I would just hold on, I watched as God started to do what he promised. He kept writing my story, saying, "You are part of a story that is bigger than yourself, and I will bring it to pass. Just keep obeying me." He cared so much for me and my precious little fatherless girls, and he kept writing our story with an overwhelming amount of grace. He heard our cries for him, and he truly became enough for us. He brought us through the place of being so worn out from grief to a place of life, and he began to do work in me. God is the same God who protected and blessed us before we lost Anthony, and he is the same God who takes care of us during the storm. And even after we emerge on the other side, I can't lie. There were times I doubted I would never get back to a place of joy, a place where the sting of my husband's death didn't feel like my heart was being ripped out from my chest. But I did get past it. It's hard to see clearly when you're being battered by life's storms. It is said, God doesn't give us more than we can handle. It's a phrase that I really wish people would stop telling others. Losing my husband, watching my girls grow up without their daddy. We weren't given this life because we were strong enough to live it. God wants us to be able to turn to him, especially on our weakest days. We aren't expected to carry these burdens alone. I decided that God had to be my everything. My confidant, my provider, my guide, literally my everything. He has never left me. I trust him more today than I ever have. The song "You Say" by Lauren Daigle is perfect. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I'm strong when I am weak. You say I'm held when I'm falling short. And when I don't belong, you say I am yours, and I believe. I also want to take this time to thank so many of you in here, from my girls and I. We felt all your prayers. There were times that I didn't know how we were going to make it through the day. And then this calming would just come over me, and I knew it was this amazing community praying for us. I could never ask for a better place to live or to raise my girls. It does take a village, and I feel like I have that here, and I feel like everyone in this room is still praying for us, and we appreciate that more than you will ever know. My girls are doing amazing. They are so resilient and amazing girls. They miss their daddy, but they know he is watching over them, and they know we will see him again one day. Thank you, guys.
I hear you whisper you have nothing left. I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true, I will rescue.
So I am so excited. Ooh, that is like being in the sun. I'm so excited to see everybody here. This is, I think it like clearly exceeds our expectations of how many people we thought would come tonight, which I think just really truly shows that God wanted this to happen tonight, and it's super exciting. With that being said, I am not a public speaker in front of a big group of adults. So if you could send a little prayers my way, I would appreciate that. So for those of you that don't know me, I am Candace Atkins, and I teach second grade up at Fairland East Elementary, and I go to Big Branch Church out in Chesapeake, and I live here in Proctorville, so you may have seen me around, and I have been involved with the Beautiful Mess Bible Studies for about a year and a half, and it's something I have absolutely loved. I love the accountability, like Susan talked about earlier, and it's been so nice just to have a community of women who come from all walks of life. We're all in different seasons of life, different occupations, different churches, and it's really been a place of encouragement. So if you are not involved in it, I would encourage you to give that a try. But in that, social media is great, and we all know that. We all love it. But we lose the humanness, and I had really been thinking of a way we needed to get Beautiful Mess into some human interaction because we lose that intimacy like we have here tonight. And so Susan texted and said, I want to do a worship night, and I was like, yes, let's do it. So I was so excited, but then we were trying to figure out what God would want to say tonight. And so I'm a teacher. I love a good theme. I can get behind that and go with it. So searching Pinterest for some inspiration of what we should do, and the cheesiest thing kept popping up in my search. And it was called The Wrinkle-Free Woman. And it was like these pictures of all this laundry and the old-time washboards and all that. And I'm like, that's so ridiculous. But it kept coming up. And I'm like, there is nobody wrinkle-free. And God said, that's the point. And so then talking to Susan, she threw out Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And so I started thinking about wrinkles. And think about how much time and effort and money we all spend in trying to get rid of wrinkles, right? People get Botox, they use creams, they have surgeries to get rid of the wrinkles in their face. Your clothes, people iron, they steam. If you live in my house, we throw it in the dryer and pray it's still going to fit when you put it back on. And so why do we do that? You know, why do we spend all this time and effort? And I think it's because we view wrinkles as flaws and weaknesses. And we value a youthful appearance, right? Like we see wrinkled skin and we don't feel its perfection. And so we spend all this time taking care of these things, and that includes all the wrinkles that we have in our life. And we all have them, and we know we all have them, right? Overeating, being messy, being self-conscious, all the way to bigger things like terminal illnesses and addiction. And when those things are in our lives, we feel flawed and we feel weak. How can God ever use me? Because I'm riding the Hot Mess Express, and it doesn't look like I'm getting off anytime soon. So we compare our lives, then we go to social media, and we compare our lives to all these Facebook highlight reels that we see, right? And I am not as put together as this one, and I'm not doing it right this way. And
we feel inferior and we feel even more flawed. But God says in 2 Corinthians, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness." And right after that, Paul says, "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me." So Paul is saying that God comes through for us when we're weak. His strength is supposed to be what gets us through, just like what Jody was talking about. If we could fix all of the wrinkles ourselves, we wouldn't need Jesus and we wouldn't need the cross. We were never meant to fix ourselves and to smooth ourselves out, but to rely on him so he can show his power. We need to embrace the wrinkles, whatever they may be, and invite him into the situation to work it out for our good. That doesn't mean I lay there and say, "This is the mess I'm in and I'm never getting out of it." It says, "This is the mess I am in and I know God is going to get me out of it." So going back to Romans 8:28, I read that again, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. And I see that word "work," and it is a verb. It is an action word. And that tells me that God never promised us that this is going to be all smooth sailing and it's not going to be easy. But I also don't see in that verse where I have to work it out for myself and you don't have to work it out for yourself, that he is going to work it out when we put him first. And that's hard for us women who just want to fix things, right? If there's a problem with your kid, you want to fix it. If there's a problem at work or, you know, in your family, you want to fix those things. And we have to love God and put him first. And when I was younger, I used to think that showing God I loved him meant that I was spending all this time in prayer and reading all these chapters a day. And those things are great, and they are essential. We can't have a relationship with somebody we don't know. But at the same time, as I get older, I realize it's more about just seeking God's face for all the decisions in my life and trying to see where he would guide me. That's how I can show God I love him, and going where he leads me to go. An awesome thing about God is that he always uses what we've gone through for something good, just like the testimony that we just heard. Whatever situation we are walking in or out of, we can use our testimony to encourage and help other people, and that's what we should be doing. And supporting each other and being open and honest is what tonight is all about. When we become a community of support and love, it's going to have a ripple effect, right? Our kids are going to see us being kind to people at the grocery store. Our husbands are going to see us cooking extra food and taking to the elderly people down the road. And it's going to grow. That love is just going to grow. Our hearts should not be to compete with the women around us or to look wrinkle-free, right? Trying to keep up with the Joneses. But our hearts should be able to, or should be wanting to, encourage people and lift them up when they are down, saying, "I'm a mess, but I know God's going to get me out, and I know he's going to be there with you too." So right now, I just want to take a minute, and I want to pray that God would give us hearts to be encouragers, but also help us embrace the season that we're in right now, knowing and trusting that he's the one that's going to be with us. So let us bow. Father God, we just lift up to you tonight, and we just thank you for the opportunity we've had here to worship you together and to hear all the things you would have us to hear. I pray as we leave this place, God, that we would have hearts to encourage each other, Lord, and not just the people that are in this room, Father God, but every person we come in contact with. Let us be someone who wants to lift others up. And I pray, Father God, that we would have a heart that would embrace the wrinkles, Father God, and that we would trust and rely on you and not lean so heavily on ourselves. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Wow. This has been awesome. Has it been awesome?
Yes.
Okay. It's been great. I think we have one more song after this. I'm going to pray for our ending, and I'm amazed. Y'all are awesome. God is awesome. And yes, I had to type mine out so I wouldn't get confused. Let's bow our heads and pray, and we can enjoy some snacks together too. Father, we have come here to praise your glorious name and to worship you. We want to thank you for your friendships and the friendships that you have brought here together. We know you have a plan for each of our lives. And the main desire for every one of us is to know your Son, Jesus, more and live a life that is pleasing to you and a life that exalts your name, to honor you for the creation of your Son, Jesus, for without him, we would all perish. Paul reminded us that as your children, we are to know you. We are to know the power of your resurrection and the fellowship in your sufferings. I believe that the way we can cope with various difficulties and dangers, heartaches and sufferings, problems and pain, trials and temptations, is connected to the fulfillment of the many plans that you have purposed for us in our lives. Help us, I pray, to face these challenges of life looking to Jesus. Help us not to repay evil for evil, but to love our enemies and to do good to those that despitefully use us. Sometimes we can't understand how you can bring beauty from ashes in our lives. We struggle to trust you with the broken pieces. Lord, help us to mature into the beautiful fruit of the Spirit. By having a relationship with you, this will bring an abundance of love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and goodness, faithfulness and self-control to our lives and into the lives of others. And Father, you say in your word that without faith it is impossible to please you. And we do want to please you. We want to trust you. Don't let fear take hold. If you want a friend to talk to this evening, you can reach out to the singers, the speakers, and each other. Say in your hearts or out loud with me, I want to trust you, Lord. I want you to make me more like Jesus and use my trials for your good and your glory. Help me believe the promise of Romans 8:28. In the strong and glorious name of Jesus, thank you for saving us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us a purpose. We could not go on without you. Amen.
All right, let's stand and sing together. We're only going to sing one verse of this song, but I feel like it's a good one to leave our hearts in. So,
amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see.
God bless you, everyone.